The thing is that obviously politicians don't like to give out their power. And it's not only the politicians, also the private sector, the companies that are already there, they don't like their interests to be played with. But in Guatemala, we have a clear example that freedom works. Well, basically the numbers at, let's say, 1995, were that we had a country of almost 11 million people, where we had 289,000 telephone lines throughout the country. Guatel was the state-owned monopoly, which was in charge of telecommunications. Within Guatel, there were five unions, which basically controlled the company. And you had a lot of corruption throughout the company because of the nature of the monopoly and the nature of the unions and all that. So you had a country with no phones. If you wanted a telephone line, you had to pay someone, 5,000 or 10,000 quetzales as a commission so you can get a telephone line. And sometimes you paid that and the telephone line was not installed. So basically that was the environment that we were living in. Well, in 1995, we had national elections, and Álvaro Arzú was elected president. He appointed me to go to Guatel, as head of Guatel, and he told me a very simple phrase. He said, "I want a lot of phones everywhere, fast." In the past, every time that something was being done to sell Guatel or the electric company or whatever, the unions just got out to the street on a strike and they stopped the country. So a law was passed in Congress that the unions that belong to a public utilities or public services, they cannot go right away on strike. They must follow a legal process to go on strike. And if they do it just right away, they could go to jail. So basically that put the handbrake on the unions, on whatever they wanted to do. And it gave us the space and the time to work with them, to explain to them what was going to happen. And basically we achieved that with our unions. We had a great, great relations with the unions. At that time we said, okay, we need to install 1 million lines. Okay, let's see if a state-owned monopoly can do it. The investment that we should do for those million lines throughout the country is over $1.5 billion. Are we going to be able to achieve that as a state-owned company? No. We will go to Congress to ask for the money, and Congress will not give it to us because there are other priorities. Okay, so we cannot do that. An important thing to mention is that at that time, the recipe that the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and all these institutions were telling our countries was, you must sell a monopoly. That's the way to do it. And if you sell the monopoly, you set up the goals for the monopoly, to the private monopoly now to achieve, and you must regulate them to make sure they achieve their goals. Okay, what happens if we sell the monopoly? Like Peru did, like Chile, Mexico, Venezuela, Panama, all these countries were doing that. Let's see their results, let's see their performance. And when you looked at the performance, they had not installed new telephone lines at the rate we needed. Okay, so if we want 1 million lines everywhere, right away, why don't we let whoever wants to come in and do it? We set a plan divided in two phases. The first one was, we were going to open the market to full competition without privileges for everybody or for anyone. Because when you talk about opening to competition, then the entrants, they want to have privileges against the incumbent. And that's not fair. And then you have the incumbent saying, you cannot let anybody just come in right at me. You have to protect me. So we said we will not get into that discussion. We will open to full competition day one. And that's the way we're going to make the difference between the boys and the men. And then we set up another team that worked on how were we going to do to sell the telecommunications company, because it had no sense, if you have a market open to full competition, to have a state-owned run company. They're going to kill it. Obviously, the guys from the World Bank and all these institutions didn't like it. I mean, we had rough discussions when they say, what you're doing is wrong. But we had to tell them, listen, but we're not asking for money from you guys, so we're just telling you what we will do. What we had at that time was political opposition. But because the people out there, there were no phones. So they were expecting phones. And the unions, they were with us. And obviously the political opposition, they were against us. For example, in my case, I had to face over 40 lawsuits throughout 8 years for all the steps and all the actions we had taken to open the market and sell the company. Well, right now we have like 13.5 million people living throughout the country. In the metro area, we have around 3 million people. But with 13.5 million people in the country, we have over 18 million telephone lines, mobile and fixed. We have different private operators. Here, getting a telephone line, a cellular operator, is as easy as going and buy a hot dog in the street. Like in Guatemala, you have any telecommunication service with the same quality, or maybe even better than the ones you can get in New York, in Tokyo, in Paris, in London. We have exactly the same quality. In that sense, in telecommunications, we are not a third world country, we are a first world country. The peasants throughout the rural areas in Guatemala, they have a telephone line so they can call a doctor if someone's sick. They can call and check the price of their products to see what they are offering them at that moment, it's a fair price or not. I would say that the transformation that we have achieved from 1998 to this date, it's amazing.